Andy, we meet again at the start of another season, and I always start off the season by asking you, where do you find the club at this time?
We're probably in a stronger position as we've ever been, given the last 3 or 4 years with COVID and all the issues that we've had to deal with. We feel that this season is like the first full season for 3 seasons, really. We've had some great support from local sponsors. We've put a lot of work into off the ground by doing work around the football pitch and in the club, which has created more people coming through, not just coming to watch a football. You know, always our aspects being community. And that seemed to grow and grow, and we're excited. We really want to get the season going. The girls have done phenomenally well, and what with England Lionesses winning the other week has brought in a new group of supporters and a new group of players. It's something we've worked on for some time. So collectively as a football club, we're really in a good position and really excited about the forthcoming season.
We'll talk about on the pitch first, because things did turn round with the appointment of the two gentlemen. They both were here under Gary Hackett previously and probably learned a lot from working with Gary. Could you see that with what you saw on the pitch for the second half of the season?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the time with Gary was invaluable, and Stu Hanley and obviously applied for the job when we took on Ian Long. At the time, Stu and Leon were here, and we just felt they needed a little bit more experience away from Gary and learn different other avenues and different ways. Maybe in hindsight, we should have given him the job. But, you know, in fairness to Ian, he did all right. Mark, we thought, was the right appointment, the experience Mark had and the knowledge. You know, when we found out Mark was going to be available, we thought, why not? He's got a great choice. But then, as it turned out, we brought in Leon and Stu. We'd all, as I said, already interviewed them. They were highlighted for us. You know, we never even interviewed anybody else when it come available again. We're excited to work with them. They're excited to work with us. And they fit. It fits. It feels right. The feeling off the pitch with the players, with everybody else around the club. It all feels right at the moment. And really excited for Leon and Stu to start their first full season in their own merit, not having to pick up the pieces of other issues or other problems that we had. You know, they've got a real clean slate now, and we've supported them as best we can. And they're excited, so we're looking forward to really having a crack at it.
Do you think it helped that they probably had the fans behind them from day one, because of the fact that they were well respected by the fans from their time as players at the club? Leon obviously had a zillion and one games for the club, and Stuart was obviously here as captain.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I've never seen a manager, his team, get clapped for losing. And we lost 2-0 against Banbury last season, but we played really well. And everybody gave him a standing ovation. And also, there's a couple of games we lost 5 at half church. We lost 6 here at Nuneaton. So there was a couple of times thinking, oh God, what have we done? But the fans never have got on the back. And that's hard. It's an hard environment, you know, here. The fans can be a little bit vociferous and say their piece. Everybody's entitled to it. There ain't no doubt about that. But they are behind Stu and Leon, the Starbridge people. They've put in, you know, over 1,000 games between the pair of them. They're good people. They're approachable. I would find it odd anybody say to have a negative word about the pair of them, which then sends you off to a positive vibe. And with that, hopefully everybody can get on the back of that and support them. You know, this is a new journey for Stu and Leon. I'm sure they've got loads of experience and we can deal with whatever we've got to face. But now it's important the supporters get behind them, but there ain't no doubt them already further up the line. So I think they've earned the Spurs. It's just a new journey for them. They just hope everybody can keep behind them as well.
Do you think it probably helped that they were dropped in at the deep end? Because you made your decision when you did and got the guys in fairly quickly afterwards. You, as you say, you sort of identified that you wanted them anyway. But Starbridge were in the league in a very tough position when they came on board. But they've been allowed to find their feet, and I guess with your support, perhaps that's built a certain amount of confidence going into this season?
Well, without a doubt. And, you know, we had, bizarrely enough, the lads come in and they only bought one or two players in. So as the season went on, whilst we were in trouble, these players that had played under the previous manager, now we're starting to believe in Leon and Stu. Now we're starting to perform. Don't get me wrong, the first few fixtures, I think we lost, as I said earlier, to Nuneaton. And we went bottom but one, and thinking, oh dear, this is going to be hard work. But we stuck at it, we persevered, and the players believed in it. I think Stoichi coming on board was a real big plus for us. And he's infectious in, you know, he works positively. Vaughan has worked tirelessly, you know, and bought on board as well. And when you got your senior players pulling their weight, we obviously missed Cowley up front because of his injury, which hurt us. But we started to believe in ourselves. We started picking up results. Stu and Leon were working their magic with the lads amongst them. And if you see, we've kept quite a nucleus of the team from last year, which makes it easier. Then you've got a bedrock to build on. And I think them good players, just that we weren't playing as a team. And I think Leon and Stu identified that. You're seeing that they never made major changes. They just bought their identity and their belief. And that changed the team. And I think the additions we brought on in the summer are really exciting players. Players who are familiar with the league and the setup. And hopefully with them gelling what we'd already got, it could be, we're hoping for exciting times. Keep our fingers crossed.
Are the guys under any pressure to actually get a target for this year?
We joke and have a laugh about it, you know. we set the budget for the playoffs, that's the target. And that's where we expect to be, you know, the money we're paying out on wages. Not going to hide the fact that, you know, that's where we'd like to be. But there's a way and how you would do that and how you'd achieve that. So I think, you know, this is Leon and Stu's team. Let them have the identity of the club and bring through what we're all about. And, you know, let's see where it takes us. But I'd certainly, that's where I'd like us to be. That's where the target is.
Do you think there are some clubs in the league still throwing money at it for the sake of it?
I think in football in general, you get that, you know, from the Premier League all the way down, you see, when you see some of the budgets and some of the wages that players are playing, and there will be teams in our league who'll be throwing big money at it, you know. We know Ilkeston will, there's no doubt about that. After that, I don't know, you know, it's Banbury got up last season, not on a massive budget, so it proves that you can get up without busting the bank, if you know what I mean. I'm sure Peter would have spent a few quid. You'll get Nuneaton, or throw a few quid at it like they always do. Probably Tamworth, maybe, depending on their financial situation. But you know, you always get a dark horse throwing money at it as well. You know, a team who get promoted, I just touched on Ilkeston, there would be no doubt they'll be shelling out big dough for players. You know, they always have done. So I don't know. You'll find that out as you go along. There are players. I do think there's a bit of a limit, but we've said, you know, we ain't going to be took for a ride. We've got a budget to manage. So it's no good busting the bank on one or two players. You've got to have it balanced out, you know. So, and that's why we're working hard with the juniors, the youth, the academy, and introducing Stourbridge Standard this season, which is the original name of the football club back in 1876. To get our kids playing adult football and then see where they go from there, you know. And during pre-season, you've seen some of the academy boys starting to play, and it's exciting. They're good kids as well. So, you know, if we can integrate some youth, your Harry Lewis's of the world, Tyler Smith's, with some of your senior players like Vaughan and Stoichi, hopefully that'll bring a good blend to us where it ain't throwing loads of money at it, you know, and you have a balance.
As a product, Stourbridge Football Club is getting bigger and bigger. This year you've introduced your gold season ticket to give fans an opportunity not just to see the first team, but also to see the promotion-winning ladies' side in action, and also your excellent youth team as well. How did that idea come about?
We muted the idea, sort of like we're a members' club, but we felt, you know, what do you get? What do you benefit? And who benefits from what? So personally, I just thought, we've got some people who do want to come and watch every game. They want to watch everything. So we thought, well, why don't we create 8 tickets? Now, whether they're a genuine fan, and I'm sure genuine fans, we'll pay it anyway. They know where the money's going. It's going in the club. It ain't going anywhere else. So for the £250 for an adult, you can watch the men, the women, the youth team, and Starbridge Standard for all, you can do all their home games and everything. And we just thought it was a real good value for money. We have sold a few as well. They've gone quite well. Not hundreds of them, no. Which you'd have liked. But in fairness, we've had sold a few, and hopefully that might be something people will realise, you know. And we did get asked why we didn't do season tickets for the ladies. They don't play that many league games. They go into a cup competition, then in another inter-cup competition. So to do a season ticket, we wouldn't have known how many games to put it on. But next season, it's only a fiver to come and watch the girls. They're playing National League next season. They'll be playing at the War Memorial next season. You know, their first game's Lincoln City. They've got Peterborough United in there. They've got Northampton Town. So that's a real exciting adventure for the girls. And Andy Fish and Mike Alex have done a fantastic job. But that's something we've been working on for 4 or 5 years. That ain't just happened. And now we're starting to bear the fruits of all the hard work we've put in. All the hard work, the boys and people around, the work, the staff, and especially the girls. Some of the girls have been here quite a while now. And they're buying into it. They come to the club. They're a real community. It reminds me like when you're on a Sunday team. And not that meaning derogatory, but you were closer together. You were a proper team, and you'd do anything for one another. And I see that in the girls, and it's fantastic to see. And we're really excited about the girls. We really fancy having a crack at that next season.
And it will give them a proper benchmark to aim at. They've been rolling over teams in previous seasons because the standard of the opposition hasn't been good enough. This time they're at a level where you're going to be playing competitive football week in, week out.
And they need that. That's where we'll get the best out of the girls, you know. I'm absolutely sure they'll develop as players. They'll develop as a team. I'm sure Mike and Andy will have some tough decisions to make sometimes, but we've got every faith in Andy and his team, and they're excited about it as well. You know, it's a whole new adventure for everybody, and we're excited as a club, as a community. You know, we got established competing at a really good level, and ask Al Zowin, they'll tell you, Step 3 is a good level. I'd love to be playing at this level, and like we would as well. We wish them up here, but it's an odd league, and we seen last season, if you ain't on your mettle, you could soon get dragged into a dogfight. So the standard we're at is a good standard, you know, and I sometimes think folks don't realise how good a standard it is. And we'll have the same with the girls now, you know, we'll have girls from higher leagues coming and playing against us. They can't wait, you know, they're really excited about it. And it's a real good opportunity for us to sort of put Starbridge on a map again. Let's go again, let's have a good season. Let's get the place rocking, let's get another good cup tie. And you know, last season we had some good cup games, Telford and Solihull down here. Were great, great games, and we really competed well. And then when the girls played Sheffield United here, you know, that's really good for a club like Starbridge to say that. It's exciting. There's a lot of other clubs we say could say that.
For the last 10 years or so, this club has changed, primarily probably down to the FA Cup runs that Starbridge were involved with at the time. People came out of the woodwork and wanted to come and support the club, and a lot of them have stayed with the club and are looking forward to this season upcoming. However, unfortunately, during the pre-season friendlies, there was a minority of people who spoilt the name of Starbridge Football Club, and sadly spoilt the name of two distinguished gentlemen who have been in football for a long time, in Colin Brooks and Hugh Clark. How disappointed were you about that game here being abandoned at half-time because of the actions of a few?
Extremely disappointed. On reflection, it makes you feel sick. They're mindless kids who hadn't even thought about the consequences. You've got two blokes who've been around local football for 50 years, put time and effort in to keep clubs like us going, like us and Al's having, to allow some of these kids to actually play local football. But they won't see that. And if you think such a minority ruined it for, I don't know, 1,300 people, where at the game, the ground was mixed, we hadn't segregated it or nothing like that. To see mindless individuals throwing at one another and wanting to have a fight with one another, they need to take a look at themselves. If they want to do that, go up the boxing club, get in the ring and have a proper fight, you know, and toe-to-toe with people, instead of dragging innocent people in and getting innocent people hurt and injured and scared. We're deeply frustrated. We believe we'd had enough stewards on. There were police present. But the decision got took out of our hands. And all because of a minority. We have been talking to the police about it. They're still doing ongoing investigation. They are looking at certain people. They have got a few names that they will be pulling. And hopefully that these individuals do get caught, they do get questioned, and get the what's coming to them in essence, because you can't do that. You can't go wandering around, running around like feral mad kids, and they were that night, and there weren't one or two, there were quite a lot of them. So I do hope the police catch them, and I do hope the police deal with them in the correct manner.
As a club, could you have done anything else?
No, I don't believe we could. There may have been a couple of decisions made by certain individuals of the night that could have changed it. But no, we had extra stewards in. You know, there were five police officers here. We had our normal stewards in here as well. We've done bigger games than that, you know, with 3,000 people in here and not added an ounce of trouble. So there's ways we're looking at it. We are looking at different ways, you know. That age bracket now have to book online. They can't just rock up and pay on the day. That's something we're introducing. And we'll have to manage it a bit more strictly, but be a bit more mindful and also be a bit more forceful with the individuals. If they do want to come and cause trouble, then go and cause it at another club. Don't cause it here.
Can you stop flares being brought into the ground?
It's hard because of the age of the kids. And I mean, I'm going to say something now, which is probably the right thing to say. You can't really search them. There's no metal on the modern flares now. They're just like a firework. Without you having a pyrotechnic dog. No. So you can't search them. You don't know they got them on. So it's one, you know, how do you deal with it? I honestly don't know. We talked about it the other day. And, you know, we have people around us, policemen, who work in that service, security service and stuff like that. Years ago in the flare, there was a metal piece in them. Now they don't put them in. So, you know, if you had a metal detector, you wouldn't find it. But the fact you can't search them anyway sort of stops the old problem as well. So, I don't honestly know, Adam. I really don't.
Given that there were 1,300 people here on the night, given that there was a very big crowd at Al's Owen for the first leg as well, given that these are two gentlemen we know and love, will the competition continue?
I spoke to Karen the other day. Yeah, the competition will continue. We need to just take stock of how we go forward. We've both been reported by the FA, to the FA, so we've both had to do a report to the FA. What the consequences of the report to the FA am is down to the FA. Karen's introducing new measures at Al's Owen. We're introducing new measures here. I think both clubs are doing the best they can. I don't think it's just a football club problem. I think it's a bit of a society problem. I think since COVID, I think people in general, I might be wrong here, but I think some people now don't care. And I think there's some great and lovely caring people, but I do feel at times some don't give a monkeys about anything, you know. And I've seen that, and I see that here. We've seen that here the other Thursday, and so I don't think it's a football problem. I think it's a possible society problem, you know.
But we know that there's probably 99% of the people at both games who are there for the love of the football and the love of the clubs involved, who will always be out of themselves and week in, week out, will go and watch their respective clubs. it would be a shame for anything to stop because of that small minority.
Well, like you said, if there's 1,300 people here and sort of 30 people cause a problem, you can see how little percentage it is of that. The rest of the ground was mixed between Starbridge and Alzheimer fans. They were drinking together, was in the bar drinking with one another. I watched a game with Keith McKenna and his lad and my daughter. I was at Alzheimer, you know, and I grew up in Alzheimer, so... I'm a fan of Alzheimer. I want Alzheimer to get promoted. I can even remember going to the Vars finals as a kid. But I might get called out that for being Starbridge. But I was born in Starbridge and I'm a Starbridge fan and I was here first. But what I'm saying is, it's about building communities. And the whole idea of the Brooks Clark Trophy was to celebrate the work Huey and Colin have done, but also to raise money for local charities. And last year we raised £1,000 for Mark Clifton's sarcoma charity. I think they're raising in excess of £1,000 for, I believe it was Millenor, another cancer charity at Alzheimer. This year we were doing Parkinson's, which got cut short, so the football club have threw £500 in. So we've raised £800, and I know Alzheimer did some work with the Black Country Food Bank. All them charities will lose out because of idiots like that. But also to see Colin and Huey upset that they could present the trophy, I need to take a look at myself, you know, and I'm sure folks know who they am. Just think about it. They want to go around lobbing bricks and coins, and there's consequences, and they'll get caught out eventually. But it's just sad. It's sad that we've been talking about it. We shouldn't have to be talking about it, you know, but it's highlighted what happened last week, so... Hopefully we can move on. We played Banbury last week and no trouble, you know, and it's at Starport. We got a big game on Saturday against Alf Church, which could be good fun. So, you know, hopefully the FA and see that them two clubs trying to do their best and support what we're trying to bring in. And hopefully we can move on from the situation and try and manage it in some way that suits everybody, and the Brooks Clark Trophy can continue to carry on, and then we can have 1,500 and 2,000 in both games and raise money for charity. And you know, it's a competitive game, it's a great game. I don't know, you was at the Alzheimer game, I don't know if you were at the home game. It was a good game, they're both good games of football for friendlies, and it's a shame to lose them.
Well said, Andy. Thanks very much for talking to me, and good luck for the season.
Thank you very much, and all the best to everybody, and see you soon.